course, the beginning of the Sedra. We have the parsha that after the three-year cycle of Maestros, the first 2 years of the cycle, you take one-tenth of your crop and give it to the Levi. The second tenth, you take to Yerushalayim and eat it there. The third year of the cycle, instead of taking the second tenth to Yerushalayim, you give it to the poor people. The fourth year is again like the first year, the fifth year like the second year, the sixth year like the third year. At the end of each three-year cycle, in the next year, before Pesach, you come to the Beis HaMikdash and you make the following declaration. I've removed everything from my house that has to be removed. In other words, each year you have to take the tithes for that year, but you don't have to give it that year. You can put it away in a silo, and you have up till 3 years to take care of it. So at the end of the three-year cycle, in the beginning of the fourth year, you make this declaration that I've taken everything out of the house that has to be taken out. I've given it to the Kohen, the Levi, the Oni. I've done everything I'm supposed to do with it. I didn't forget anything. I didn't transgress anything. I did everything right. You have to make that declaration. The rabbis call that declaration Vidui Meiser, the confession of Meiser. The question is, what kind of confession is there here? Imagine we'll come Yom Kippur and say, God, I looked over my ear. I haven't forgotten anything. I did everything right, nothing wrong. I admit I'm a completely righteous person. What kind of confession is that? So why do they call it? They should have called it the declaration of Meiser. Why the confession of Meiser? So there are many ideas given. I've said some ideas myself in the past. This year I want to say something new, but I'll tell you a little bit about what others say first. The Sfarno says the following. He says that if it had not been for the sin of the golden calf, we all would be Kohanim, and we wouldn't have to give Trumas and Maestros to the Kohen and the Levi. We could use it ourselves, because we'd all be a Kohen. And I want to add, we'd also not have to bring anything to Yerushalayim, because you could eat Kodesh everywhere. Everywhere would be okay. There wouldn't be any special place where you'd have to have a Mikdash or whatever. And therefore, because of the sin of the golden calf, I had to remove things from the house and give it to the Kohen and give it to the Levi. So I confess that, not that I sinned, I didn't commit the sin of the golden calf, but because of sins of generations before, I am less than perfect. I have my inadequacies. And I confess my inadequacies that I'm not a Kohen, and I had to give everything to someone else because of a sin of the past. That is the Sfarno. The Sifrei Hasidim, I don't remember who exactly, but says a different idea. He says that in order to come and stand before God and say, God, I have done everything right, I didn't forget anything, how many confessions and crying and tears are going to have to precede that to be able to say that before God? So that's why it's called confession, not because what you're saying now, but because what was necessary to lead up to it. The Sefer Achinuch says that people many times value speech more than actions. Speech is what makes a person special over the animals, and therefore what you say is sometimes more important than what you do. People are more afraid of saying things wrong than doing things wrong. And therefore the Torah said like this, we want you to know that you're going to have to confess before God, or you're going to have to declare before God that you did everything right, you took everything and did it properly, and in order that you should not be a liar when you say that, right, and that you should better do it right. So the fact that you know in the future that you're going to have to make this declaration, right, and if you didn't do things right, you're going to be a liar and be embarrassed in front of God, so that will make sure that you'll do things right. Could be that there's a connection to that and the idea of verbal confession. The Torah said that if you commit a sin, you're going to have to, if you want to do tshuva, you're going to have to verbally confess it. That will be a deterrent from doing the sin. If you know in the future, if you sin, okay, you did something wrong. But you know that if you want to correct it, you're going to have to verbally say before God, right, that you confess that sin. That in itself will be a deterrent from sinning to begin with, knowing that this is going to have to be something that's going to be generated by the sin. And that's what the Rashbam says also, that you'll be embarrassed to lie in front of God, and therefore you'll make sure that you do things right. And that could be why it has to be lifnei Hashem. You have to say this before God. You have to feel like you're standing before God, and that adds to the embarrassment. Okay. The Rebbe Mizidichev says the following. He says that someone who thinks he's done everything right probably hasn't. And somebody who's afraid that he hasn't probably has. And therefore, when you make this declaration and you say, I haven't forgotten anything, I've done anything right, that in itself is something that shows that maybe it's not 100% right. The only problem is that you don't say this on your own. This is a declaration the Torah says you have to say, and it gives you the nusach, the way to say it. So difficult to say that the person himself came to the conclusion he did everything right, and because of that he probably didn't. He has to say this because the Torah said he had to say it. So I don't understand 100% that idea. Then there's Rabbi Soloveitchik Zatzal. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, when you make this declaration, you say the following. I didn't forget anything. I did everything right. I did as you said. Not what you said, but as you said. Kichol could mean about what you said. In other words, I did it pretty much the way you said, but maybe not with the right intention, not with the full heart. I did it just about what you said, but not exactly. That's the confession. The confession is that even though I did in substance everything, but maybe the form wasn't the way it should be. The Minchas Chinuch says a different idea, why it's called a confession. Because the truth is, the person who did this didn't really take care of everything 100% the right way. Because if he really did it the right way, he should have taken care of every year at that year, and not left to the third year to take care of, even though it's okay. But he should have been a Zoris. He should have done it with greater enthusiasm than leave it and get it done by the deadline. Do it right away. So that is the confession. I confess I did it, but yes, I held it till the last minute, even though it's okay to wait till the deadline, but it's not obviously the ideal, where I should have done it as fast as possible. Okay. Those are a little bit of an overview of what other people say. I'll tell you what I think. One idea that I've said in the past is the following. I'll give you an example to what I'm saying. If somebody gave you $1 million to disperse, he gave it to you in trust, and he expected you to disperse those funds to X, Y, and Z. Okay? You are his representative to disperse charity funds or whatever. And you over the year, you're supposed to disperse this $1 million in the way that he told you to do it. And you do it. You are responsible to go back to him and report that you did it right. Because you are accountable to him. Even if you did nothing wrong, you have to come and confess your accountability. You were given $1 million. You have to give an accounting of where it went. So even if you did everything right, you're still responsible to give an accounting. Same thing here. God gave you your sustenance. He gave you your crops. He expects you to disperse a portion of it, this to the Levi, this to the Kohen, this to bring to Yerushalayim. You're accountable to him. Vidui does not necessarily mean I confess that I did something wrong. But vidui means I confess that I'm accountable. So I can confess that I'm accountable and I haven't lived up to my responsibility, or I can confess my accountability and that I did live up to my responsibility. But in either case, it's a confession that I'm accountable. I can't just do whatever I want. I'm accountable because you gave me, and I'm responsible to take care of it the way that you gave it me for. You put it in my trust. So therefore, the vidui over here is a confession of accountability. That's the idea. And it says in the Torah, in this week's Sedra, you singled out God, right? And you committed yourself to him. And because of that, he singled you out and committed himself to you. So there's a deal between us. We have accepted each other and bonded to each other and committed to each other. So I'm accountable to the Rabbanu Shel Olam. Could be he's accountable to me too. But I'm accountable to him. And therefore, I can't just say, well, I'll do everything that's right or whatever. If I even I do what's right, I have to come back to God and report that I did what's right. And that confesses my accountability. That's confession. Confession is either confessing that you didn't live up to your accountability or that you did. But in either case, you have to confess that you're accountable. That is one idea. This year I want to add something new. Different idea completely. And that is that the word vidui can mean confession, but it has another connotation. The word vidui means to cast out. Where do we find that meaning? In a pasuk in Eicha, yadu even bi, they threw, cast stones at me. The word yadu means to cast, to throw. So vidui can mean to cast out, which means the following. In the classical confession, that's exactly what we're doing. We're casting out the sin. And the context is the following. For a person really to confess his sin and to feel remorse, which is the foundation of tshuva, that you regret doing the sin, and because you regret it, you won't do it again. That is what tshuva is. In order to really regret a sin, you have to feel that it is not befitting you. Because if you feel what you did is befitting you, then what's the regret? The Rabbeinu Yonah in Sharei HaAvoda says that the foundation of service to God is recognizing your own self-worth. How important you are in the eyes of God. Because if you don't understand that, then why would you think that God would want you to serve Him? If you're nothing, right, insignificant, why would God want a nothing, insignificant thing to serve Him? Must be that God considers you important. And also, what deterrent would you have from doing terrible sins if you think you're good for nothing? Good for nothing things. Do good for nothing things. So what's there to regret? Why shouldn't I sin? That's me. But if you think that you are a very important person, you have tremendous ancestors, you come from good stock, then doing sins is unbefitting you. In fact, the Tozer Rosh Yeshiva says that's what we say when we finish confessing our sins. After we say Oshamnu, Bogadnu, Gos, all these terrible sins, Ovarnu al mitzvosecho umishpatecho atovim velo shavalanu. It's a simple meaning, lo shavalanu, it wasn't worth it. I thought I would gain from doing these sins, and in the end I see it wasn't worth it. But he says it means something else. It means, in Yiddish, he said it means das ist nicht für mir zugepasst, which means it's not befitting me. I did all these things, but it's not me. That's not me. I am fit for a lot better. And I did these things, it's not my character, it's out of character. Because if it is my character, if that's what I am fit to do, then what am I regretting? That's what I am. But if that's not me, I am befitting much greater things for me, much better things, and I did these things, then this is something that I have to regret. This is something I can feel bad about. And that's why the Gemara says, the way the Maharal explains it, that a person who sins and is embarrassed that he sinned, then God forgives him for all his sins. Says the Maharal, when you're embarrassed, it means that you feel this is improper. It's not befitting you. You're only embarrassed about things that you feel are not befitting you. If it's befitting you, what's to be embarrassed about? So therefore, when a person sins and he feels embarrassed, it means that the sin is not really him. And he recognizes the sin is something separate from him. Okay? And therefore, vidui is when you really regret the sin, you really feel that the sin and you are not the same thing. The sin is an external thing that you did, but it's not really an expression of who you are. And therefore, what you want to do is cast away the sin. Divest yourself of it. This is not me. If it's me, I can't divest myself of myself. But if it's just something that I did, it's something external, then I can throw it out. That's vidui. Vidui is casting out the sin. The sin doesn't become you, doesn't become part of you. It's something you did, and it's something you can divest yourself of. So therefore, the vidui means not confession, it means divesting yourself, throwing out, casting out that which is extraneous to you, which is not right, and getting rid of it. That's exactly what happens by there. I have truma, miser, that doesn't belong to me, that I have to give to the Kohen. I have to divest myself and cast that out, and that's what we say, Biarti HaKodesh Min HaBayis. I remove the things that were holy out of my house. I divested myself. They're not me. That's not part of my property. Right? Because they're something that God told me I have to give to somebody else. So they're not mine. They belong to someone else, and I have to divest myself of that. That's why it's called vidui maisa. It's exactly the same thing. But vidui doesn't mean confession. Vidui means to divest yourself of something. There you're divesting yourself of your sins. Here you're divesting yourself of the possessions that God said belong to someone else that you have to disperse, right? That you have to distribute that are not really yours. It's the same exact idea. So if we understand this, and we learn all the lessons of vidui from this, what vidui is, both recognizing not only the sins that we did, but recognizing our inadequacies, our imperfections, right? That's also confession, the way the first thing that we said. And also that maybe we did everything right in substance, but maybe in form we could have done it a lot better, right? Maybe we waited for the deadline and got by the skin of our teeth, but could have done it in a much more grand and proper way, then we'll be ready to say the vidui with all of these meanings on Yom Kippur and finish the 40-day developmental process that we're in the middle of now, and be able to recreate ourselves as new people for the coming year through the tshuva of Yom Kippur. And I said last week, I'll say it again now, that maybe there's a hint in the year Hatisha, Hey Tav Shin Ayin Hey, spells out the nine. We said last week that in the Chagadya, in the end of the Seder by Echad Miodeya, so we say Tisha Miodeya, who knows nine? See, nine are the 9 months of pregnancy. So it's difficult because all the other 12 things and that 13 things are specific to Jews. One God, two Luchos, three fathers, four mothers, five books of the Torah, six books of the Mishnah, 7 days of the week, which is Shabbos, right? 8 days of Mila, right? 10 commandments, 11 stars in Yosef's dream, the 12 tribes, and the 13, what's it called, attributes of mercy. They all are something Jewish. 9 months of pregnancy, Goyim also have 9 months of pregnancy, so that's something special to Jews. But I was thinking that the Chazal compare the coming of Mashiach to a birth. And before Mashiach comes, there's going to be labor pains. And they get worse and worse as Mashiach gets closer. Chevle Mashiach. So maybe that's what they said. Tisha miodeya, who knows nine? Nine is not referring to the regular 9 months of pregnancy. But in the Jewish people, there's the 9 months of pregnancy that precede the birth of Mashiach, of the Geula. And that's what it's referring to. So this year is Hatisha, the nine. Maybe this year will be, the nine will be over, and all the chevli, all the labor pains will be finished, and we'll come to the end of the 9 months and see Mashiach come soon in our days.